You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, haven't been looking forward to doing this one here today. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. If you're looking for in-depth analysis and breakdowns of every single game, highlights, interviews, we have it all right here for you. This is your daily hub for Kings content. If you call yourself a Sacramento Kings fan through the good and the bad, this is the place for you. My name is Matt George, normally a 100% blind optimist, but today, a little bit difficult to be an optimist. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia talent and reporter. Last night, I felt the same feelings as probably most, if not each and every single one of you. Last night's loss to the Phoenix Suns, a shorthanded Phoenix Suns team that was without their best player in Devin Booker, 115 to 111 is the final. Easily the worst loss of the year and completely and utterly inexcusable. And that's regardless of the fact that the Kings blew a 21-point lead. They were up 19 at halftime, led as much or by as many as 21. A dreadful third quarter. Easily the worst quarter they have ever played, at least this season, but maybe in the history of the franchise. The Kings were an absolute mess against the Phoenix Suns in the third quarter. A lot of credit to the young Suns. They played with a lot of hustle and energy. Kelly Oubre Jr. had himself a fantastic game, and he's been a good acquisition and a good pickup for Phoenix. But the Suns outscored the Kings 33-14 after the Kings outscored the Suns 40-18 in the second quarter. To put that into perspective, the Kings scored more points in the second quarter, 40 points, than they did in the second half, 39 total points in the second half, as the Suns also outscored the Kings 29-25 in quarter number four. Completely and utterly inexcusable, especially with the fact that for the most part, your starters were rested as they played average minutes in the win just the night before against the Orlando Magic. I don't care that it was the second night of a back-to-back. You're playing the worst team in the Western Conference, and you had a massive lead over the worst team in the Western Conference without their leading scorer. And I'm not just talking like their leading scorer by a couple of points. Devin Booker is above and beyond the leading scorer on this Kings team. He was not playing. You've already blown the Suns out this year without Devin Booker in their building. This time, it looked like you were going to do it. You flipped into cruise control in quarter number three. The Suns took advantage. Now, nobody except for one player, and I'll talk about that one player in a little bit, but nobody other than one guy is blameless for this Sacramento Kings loss. It is top to bottom, and that's not just players, that's coaching staff as well. I am a huge fan of Dave Yeager. I've been a massive supporter of Dave Yeager. Just yesterday on the podcast, I was talking about how the Kings need to do everything in their power to try and re-sign Dave Yeager, and I still feel that way regardless of last night's loss. Dave Yeager did not do well last night. He left Harry Giles into the game far too long in the third quarter. He and the Kings were absolutely abused by fantastic play from Holmes. He had a phenomenal game, like I said, along with Kelly Oubre Jr., who had 26 points off the bench. T.J. Warren also provided 21 points. Now, T.J. Warren didn't play when the Kings beat the Suns earlier on this season, so they certainly used him being back, and his 21 points were a big help for them. But Dave Yeager left certain players in the game for far too long, took too long to get certain players back into the game, especially in the fourth quarter. I thought he kept Buddy Hield on the bench for too long, despite the fact that Buddy wasn't having his best game, and despite the fact that Ben McLemore was having a fantastic game. I guess I'll start with Ben. I guess I'll start with the positives. Ben McLemore was phenomenal last night. 20 points in 18 minutes. It was good to see him get going, put on a little bit of a showcase game. It's one of the cool things about this Kings squad this year is anybody can step up on any given night. And when players like McLemore get an opportunity and they do step up and make the most out of their minutes, I think it's encouraging to watch. It's fun to watch from a fan's perspective. And I think a lot of Kings fans, rightfully so, gave Ben McLemore the respect and the praise that he deserved for his effort, because he did everything he could to keep the Kings in that game and to give them an opportunity to win and to try and keep their lead intact. Unfortunately, he couldn't do it all as really nobody else but him showed up. Well, the Kings did show up in one area. They showed up to turn the freaking ball over. 25 turnovers. Now, the Kings were averaging just around 8 turnovers of the last 2 or 3 games. They had more turnovers in this game than the last 3 games combined. In the last 3 games, 2 of them were against the Denver Nuggets, who are a great defensive team, and the Golden State Warriors, who are a great defensive team. Now, I didn't expect them to turn the ball over that much against the Orlando Magic. Of course, they didn't. But regardless, 25 turnovers in a game is absolutely inexcusable. De'Aaron Fox had 8 of those turnovers, which is a career high for him. He had a rough game, although offensively, he did provide some scoring. He hit a big three-pointer late coming off of 2 great defensive possessions by Willie Cauley-Stein that I thought, okay, the Kings now went up by, it was either 5 or 7 points, I apologize, I can't remember exactly, but Willie Cauley-Stein got a block, then the Kings scored, then the Suns came back on the other end, Willie Cauley-Stein got another block, and then intercepted a pass, and that led to a transition De'Aaron Fox 3 that put the Kings back up and back on top, and I thought, okay, that was the sequence we needed. The Suns took a timeout. The Kings are going to find a way to win this game. It's going to be an ugly win, but it's going to be a win nonetheless. Nope. Suns come out, immediately step on the Kings' throats and step on the gas pedal again. The Kings, what do? They continue to turn the ball over. The Suns had 18 steals in this game. And it was just a disaster. It was an embarrassing loss from a fan's perspective, from a media member's perspective, from the Kings' perspective. I know Dave Yeager was embarrassed. I'm sure those players were embarrassed. De'Aaron Fox, I'm not sure if you've heard or seen his post-game press conference. It's better to actually go and watch it. It's all over the place, all over NBC. Check out just how he looked, keeping his eyes down, just the frustration, the disappointment. He did not want to do that post-game media interview, and I don't blame him. None of the Kings, I don't think, really wanted to talk, and that flight back to Sacramento was probably not a cheerful one. But the Kings, they should be embarrassed. I got to be brutally honest. I think Bogdan Bogdanovic has been really, really bad since his game winner against the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, he's put up good numbers and he's had good moments, but I've thought down the stretch, especially when Kings need big baskets, he's trying to play a little bit too much hero ball. Now, you know I love Bogdan Bogdanovic. You know I respect him and I admire what he can do, and I think the majority of the time the ball in his hands down the stretch is going to result in good things for the Kings, but he's on this little bit of a stretch right now where maybe he got a little too high from that step-back game winner against the Lakers to where he's forcing things, and he forced a lot of bad shots again in the loss last night, and he forced a lot of bad shots in the loss against the Golden State Warriors as well. I thought he shot the Kings out of both games, unfortunately, so it would be nice to see him get it going and pick it back up. Other than him, you're looking at just across the board. Nemanja Bjelica didn't play at all in the fourth quarter. He finished with only 4 points. He only played 16 minutes. He got benched pretty hard as he did a rough job on both ends of the floor against the smaller and more athletic Phoenix Suns squad. Willie Cauley-Stein, 15 points and 7 rebounds. Like I said, he had that really good defensive sequence towards the end of the game, but that was really his only highlight. He struggled significantly. Buddy Hield had 16 points on 5 of 11 shooting, went 3 of 5 from deep. So statistically, the Kings did enough offensively to win this game. But like I said, they went on cruise control. The Suns, they had nothing to lose. Their backs were against the wall. They came out of the second half, played with a lot of effort and energy, got the crowd into it for what little crowd was there. And they caught the Kings napping. The Kings did exactly what they cannot do as a young team in the NBA, despite the fact that they are having a good season. They took advantage of their opponents, and they folded or decided a game was over before it was over, long before it was over. This wasn't a situation of the Kings with a big lead heading into the fourth quarter against the Orlando Magic on Monday. This was still a whole half to play, and even though you're up 19, 21 points on the road, things can change in a hurry, and the Suns do have more weapons offensively than what the Orlando Magic do, even without Devin Booker on the floor. The Kings, they let it go. They let it slide. They completely fumbled it. And it's disappointing. It's shameful, really. Now, I wanted to talk about really quick, before I get to, I wanted to play a phone call for you. I got a bunch of phone calls last night. Many of them I can't play here on the podcast, just filled with fan anger and fan frustration. And we're actually going to be talking about that here towards the end of the podcast. But I got a fan call from Taylor, and I'm going to be playing that for you here in just a little bit. Taylor actually left this message this morning, and I heard it just in time before starting to record the podcast, and I liked it, so I was going to play it here because I think he talks about it and brings up a lot of good points of why the Kings lost this game and where the real frustrations of this game lie. So we'll be playing that for you in just a little bit. But I want to talk about the last sequence for the Kings offensively. And give credit to the Suns where credit is due. The Kings were down by 3 points. They needed a three-point basket. They had an inbound on. They advanced the court or advanced the ball onto their side of the court, and they were on the TV camera side, the opposite side from the bench. And the inbound play, it looked like it was going to be a quick inbound to Willie Cauley-Stein and a handoff to Buddy Hield for a stop-and-pop three-pointer. However, the Suns did a phenomenal job in two areas. One, they recognized that the Kings down three, they know they're going to try and go for Buddy Hield as much as possible. So I can't remember who was guarding Buddy Hield, but they didn't give him even enough room to receive a handoff. He was so covered. And so Willie Cauley-Stein had to hold on to the ball for a little bit longer than intended. And the Suns recognized that Willie was on the floor. He had the ball. They had a foul to use. And the Kings needed a three-point basket. Willie Cauley-Stein's been a bad free throw shooter this year, and so what do? They foul Willie. He misses both free throws. Suns come back on the other end, hit a free throw, ball game. And it's great awareness by them. I know fans were disappointed and angry with Jaeger. How could you allow Willie to touch the ball, or why would you drop a play and inbound the ball to Willie? That's because Willie was supposed to be the facilitator to just hand the ball off to a three-point shooter and use his size to set a screen to create enough separation for the Kings to get a good shot off. The majority of the time, it is a play that you're going to see run in those type of situations, not just by Dave Jaeger, but by almost every head coach in the NBA. It's common to run players off of center and big man screens and center and big man curls. It didn't work. The Suns took advantage. They recognized the weakness, and they deserve to win that game. I also don't harp on Dave Jaeger for drawing that up. It's unfortunate how it played out, and I know Kings fans are just frustrated in general with the loss, but Dave Jaeger is one of the best coaches in the NBA and has proved to be one of the best coaches in the NBA of drawing plays out of timeouts. So the Kings wanted to get a certain look. They didn't get it. Credit to the Suns defense, and that is what it is. Before we move on, because we have some news and some rumors courtesy of ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, is the Kings are considering some trade possibilities here with the New York Knicks. We'll talk about that when we come back from the next segment. But right now, wanted to play for you this call from Taylor. He sums up the frustrations from this Kings game and this Kings loss to the Suns as about as well as you possibly can.
This is Taylor Schultz at Taylor Schultz Twitter handle. The thing that I saw last night's game, which I continually see during crunch time, is there's two big glaring deficiencies that the Kings have. One is defensive rebounding, which we see over and over and over again. And the other is the lack of a half-court offense when the game gets close. It's usually one guy going into the middle, into a crowd of defenders. We saw that last night with Bogey. We saw it with Fox. And if we don't get a foul call, we usually don't even get a shot up. So Jaeger's got some things to work on, but until we correct those, I don't think we're close to a playoff team yet. In the playoffs, those games get tight and physical, and you better have a half-court offense. You're going to get blown out of the water. All right, keep up the great work.
Woj bomb, kinda. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN tweeted out today that New York, the Knicks, and the Sacramento Kings are discussing an Enes Kanter-Zach Randolph trade of expiring contracts, but nothing is close yet. Kings would want to send out more expiring contracts in the deal to acquire Enes Kanter and his contract, and I know a lot of Kings fans, at least from what I've seen and interacted with on social media this morning, I know they are elated with this possibility. Enes Kanter has been a name that has been floated around on Kings Twitter for a while because he seemingly does what the Kings need. need. Actually, we know he does what the Kings need. That's consistently rebound, provide a big presence in the paint. He's not the best rim protector and best defender, but he's better than most of what the Kings have as of right now. He's also a decent scoring threat as well. I think Enes Kanter would be a fantastic pickup for this Kings team, and you knew that they were going to want to offload some contracts. They're going to want to move Zach Randolph in any deal that they possibly can for two reasons. One, they want to get Zach Randolph out of Sacramento and give him an opportunity to play. He's not going to play here in Sacramento, and the Kings know that he still has some left in the tank, and Zebo wants to play. He's aware that his window and door here in Sacramento has closed. The Kings are still very fond of Randolph. Head coach Dave Yeager loves Zach Randolph, so I am more than confident in the fact that the Kings are going to be trying to shop Zach Randolph as the deadline approaches more and more for his sake, just as much for theirs. Now, he also has a lot of money on the books that a lot of teams don't necessarily have to worry about. And in the case of Enes Kanter, they take on Zach Randolph's contract. They're not really going anywhere. The New York Knicks are not really going anywhere. So they don't necessarily have to worry about having to pay Zebo for the remainder of the season. Zebo will be able to get some playing time there and probably help in certain ways with their scoring if he does get some playing time. But as for Enes Kanter, he has just signed through this season. He's making $18.6 million this season. He is set to become a free agent at the end of the year. So this could just be a remainder of the season rental for the Kings, and Kanter is certainly someone who can help fill some of those holes and fill some of those gaps, get the Kings back on track, and maybe put them in a position to make a run at the playoffs. This seems like and feels like a very comfortable and safe Kings move. They're not going to gamble and go too hard for Enes Kanter. They're not going to give up anything or have to give up anything significant in order to get him. Moving Zebo and another expiring contract or two, maybe I don't think Iman Shumpert would be involved, but maybe a Ben McLemore or something like that to New York in order to get Kanter would be an ideal scenario, an ideal situation, and I would definitely be happy to see Kanter in a Kings jersey. Now, he plays with a fire, and he plays with a passion and an energy, and has good leadership, and I know a lot of players don't like playing against him, but a lot of them like him as a teammate, and so far in 41 games this season, he's averaging 14.4 points and 11 rebounds, which is it's not quite a career high, sorry, he averaged 15 points in the 2014-2015 season as a whole, but he's having a good year. He's up from years past. The rebounding is mainly what you're going to get from him, and also the rim protection. Those are the number one and number two things that he's going to be able to provide right away. As like I said, he's averaging 11 rebounds per game this season. He's shooting 54% from the field. He's also an 81% free throw shooter, which is nice. And he adds just around or about half of a block per contest so far this season as well. So Enes Kanter is definitely a guy that I would be interested in seeing the Kings go out and get. We'll have to follow and track and see if anything more comes of this story. I assume discussions are going to go on through quite a while. I very highly doubt that a deal will be getting done here today. So we'll just have to wait and see what the Kings decide to do and what they elect to do. And if they're able to get a deal done. But again, if Enes Kanter can become a Sacramento King, I certainly would be pleased with that. I don't think it's going to hurt the Kings too much by any means. So be sure to follow my Twitter account at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. Also follow Woj's account if you don't already, Woj ESPN, because he'll be able to provide the updates. And then if anything goes down today or in the near future, of course, we'll talk about it and have all the coverage for it right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Last thing for you here today, I went on a little bit of a Twitter rant or got on a soapbox a little bit last night, and I know some of you saw that, and many don't like me to bring my opinions or my, I guess, quote-unquote fan policing onto the podcast, so I'll keep this as short and sweet as possible, and you, if you are interested in what I have to say and more of my opinions on this, I'm going to share with you a way that you can get all of those that isn't here on this podcast itself, but I knew after the loss, that Twitter was going to spin into a cesspool of frustration and anger. A lot of it understandable frustration, for sure, but it always opens the door. Bad Kings losses, but Kings losses in general always open the door to the very, very vocal minority of Kings fans that just have venom in their hearts, anger on their mind, and want to blame everybody and scream their disgust and frustrations from the hilltop and want to see everybody fired and the entire basically city of Sacramento burn every time the Kings lose a game. And I did a good job, and at least in my opinion, to try and avoid that as much as possible. And once it all died down, I then took to Twitter to express my frustration and disappointment with a lot of Kings fans who, and it just sports fans in general. It's not just Kings specific, because every fan base does this in some way, shape, or form. And this isn't just me talking from a high horse or from the top of a mountain talking down on others. Like, I do not partake in this, and I am completely absolved of this, because I'm just as guilty as many fans throughout my time. The biggest example that I can give recently was being a diehard Oakland Raider fan, my anger and frustration and lashing out towards John Gruden. I went on Sports 1140 KHDK's airwaves and absolutely demolished and killed John Gruden after the Khalil Mack trade, and have killed him for the majority of this season for how I believe he's disrespected fans and how he's been kind of just an ass in general about this season and handling this team and building this team in his own way. So I'm guilty of that anger and that frustration and that lashing out just as much as everybody is. But one line that I will never cross, which so many unfortunately seem to cross nowadays in sports media, especially with social media, is just purely belittling or abusing someone verbally on social media. I've seen it with Justin Jackson. I've seen it with head coach Dave Yeager. We saw it a lot this summer with Vlade Divac. We see it a lot with Willie Cauley-Stein. All I will say is this for the podcast. I hope that you podcast listeners, those who choose to listen to me consistently, don't have this kind of mindset that even though you are frustrated, I hope you don't take to social media or take to any outlet that you can to publicly badmouth or bash players or front office officials or coaches in a way that you wouldn't be proud of the next way, and in a way that is clearly crossing the line. The best way that I can sum it up is how I tweeted it here. I said, being a fan or having an emotional attachment to something doesn't give anyone the right to be abusive from the safety of a keyboard. I said some Bears fans, Chicago Bears fans, should be ashamed of how they're treating kicker Cody Parkey, who missed that game-winning kick against the Eagles this weekend. Bears fans have been dreadful about that. And then some Kings fans should be ashamed of some of their attacks on Vlade and Willie Cauley-Stein and Yeager over the past 6 to 9 months. So just some food for thought. If you want to dive in deeper, if you agree with me or disagree with me or like this conversation and want to hear more of my thoughts on it or read more of my thoughts on it, I actually wrote an in-depth article on it this morning on Sports 1140 KHDK, khdk.com. The article is up right now for you to read, and I highly encourage you go and read it. I have some tweets in there from fans, not just Kings fans, but fans of sports in general, that are examples of clearly crossing the line. The article is on the front page, and it's titled, "It's Time for Abusive Fan Culture to End." So go check that out if you want to and if you're interested. And for those who don't like this on the podcast, I apologize. I wanted to get that off my chest, though, because it's something personally that I'm passionate about, and as long as I have this forum to be able to share the things that I'm passionate about and things that I would like to see changed or fixed in sports culture, I will take that opportunity to do so, but I'm not going to allow it to run full podcasts like I have at times in the past. So I apologize about doing that in the past. I apologize about focusing on it or taking time to talk about it here today. If you're not interested in it, we will be back to normal Kings conversation tomorrow. Again, I'm going to find out or try and find out more and see if we hear more about this Enes Kanter conversation. I'm also working on trying to get a guest for you for tomorrow's show, and we'll also preview the Kings and the Detroit Pistons happening in Sacramento based off of The recent play of the Kings bigs, having Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond in town, may be a very tough task for this Kings team, although I do believe they're going to be playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and something to prove. They're going to be playing pissed off that they blew this lead to the Phoenix Suns. But the Kings, ultimately, we're at the halfway point of the season, and they're 20-21. So things can be a lot worse. I know we have the sour taste of the recent loss in our mouth, but to put it into perspective, and perspective is extremely important, if I were to tell you at the start of the season that at the halfway point, the Kings would be 20-21 here in early January, January 9th, 2019, you would be more than happy to accept that, and you would be on cloud nine. So just remember that. The Kings are still moving in the right direction. It's one loss. It counts the same, regardless of the fact that it was a 21-point blown lead against the Phoenix Suns. It counts the same as all the other losses, and it counts the same as all the other wins. So the Kings will try and move on from that, and hopefully we as fans can as well. That will do it for today's Locked on Kings podcast. Take the time, if you can, to respond on social media at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me at any time, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. And you can call in to our phone line like Taylor did and leave a voice message at any time if you want to share your thoughts and on this potential Kings Enes Kanter trade, or anything that you want to share. We got a lot of open space to fill for tomorrow's podcast, so be sure to do that. Take advantage of that right now. I would certainly appreciate and love to have you here on the podcast. The number for you is 909-566-0232. Also, if you can, leave a review of this podcast. That helps us out a lot. Share it with your fellow Kings fans, and I will talk with you tomorrow. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for the Locked On, for listening rather, to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.